Lake Effect continues on WUWM. I'm Mitch Teich. Before the break, we spoke with someone working to convince people and companies to take water consumption and usage more seriously. Now we're going to shift to a group that would like to see Wisconsin and other Great Lakes states take water safety more seriously. The Great Lakes Surf Rescue Project is not primarily about helping surfers in trouble, though the group recently elicited the help of one of the world's pioneers in the field of surf rescue. But the mission of the project is to convince municipalities to have better safety measures in place at Great Lakes beaches, and also to make water safety training mandatory for children growing up in the region. Dave Benjamin is executive director, and Bob Pratt is the education director for the Great Lakes Surf Rescue Project. And Archie Kalepa is the retired ocean safety operations chief for Maui County and a legendary big wave surfer himself. Welcome to all three of you.
Aloha.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Archie Kalepa, let me start with you if I can. People use the term pioneer to describe your work in surf rescue. What was that field like when you were coming of age as a surfer?
Well, you know, looking back some 30-something years, lifeguarding in Hawaii, the lifeguards were looked at more as beach boys versus lifeguards back in the day. And then with the introduction of the jet ski, which is what we call a rescue ski, because we turned it into a working tool, it really revolutionized the rescue environment, and should I say the rescue world, to take it a step further, because once we got the people in Hawaii to believe in us allowing to use this as a tool to help save people's lives, it went on to do the same around the world. But it was really tough back in the day, and this kind of catapulted us and took us out of the beach boy environment and put us in the professional realm of life saving.
Was there resistance to it? Did people look at jet skis, which, you know, were thought of as kind of just a fun toy at the time?
Absolutely. I remember in the early days, surfers would be flipping us off, saying, get the hell out of here. And then there was Hurricane Iniki. It was a big hurricane, and went out and saved everybody. And it was amazing. The change the very next day when we went on a patrol and everybody was like, hey, lifeguard. And that was the beginning of changing the face of lifeguarding for good many reasons, not only for the lifeguards, but for the people that we were looking after. I think people became more aware of the importance of having lifeguards at beaches. They became more aware of the importance of water safety and understanding the educational component as well. So there was many venues that the ski allowed us to educate the people.
And do you think in general the field of surf rescue has gotten more open to innovation since then?
Well, it's been a long road. And from a broader perspective, as far as water safety, ocean safety, it's not anywhere where it needs to be. And I'm talking about internationally. I'm talking about across the United States. You know, if you look at the number of people that drown or accidents that happen in a water environment versus people dying in fires, the numbers are pretty one-sided. But the efforts that the cities, the counties, or the states put into recognizing the need is very minimum. And I think that needs to change. The elements of water is not our natural environment. And so things happen pretty quickly. When we go into the water, or somebody that's less experienced, all they see is the beauty. They don't see the beast hidden within that beauty. And the beast is the rip currents, the rip tides, you know, the colder water, the undertow, the shore break. There's all these things that the normal human being doesn't see. It's true experience. It's true education. It's true people that work in these kinds of environments that our legislators, our politicians, our community leaders need to listen to so that we can come up with a viable solution to provide lifeguard services around the country at needed times, whether it be seasonal, places that they identify as high-risk areas. So there's a lot that could be discussed and talked to. And the thing is, when you promote your area like Hawaii, when we promote Hawaii, that's one thing that can help tourism, because for us, tourism is like the number one source of income. Use that as a tool to come visit our beaches. Our beaches are safe. Whereas spring break, summertime, people in Milwaukee, for example, they want to go to the beaches. They want to get out in the water. When that opportunity arises for them to go, we need to make that environment safe for them. Does that make sense?
Oh, absolutely. And this is a perfect transition to talk about the work of the Great Lakes Surf Rescue Project. What are you up against? What makes this a challenging environment at this day and age for safety when we talk about folks on the Great Lakes?
You know, Archie touched on a couple of points that I'd like to elaborate on. I come from the fire service. I spent 25 years as a firefighter paramedic in Michigan. And he's spot on when he talks about the efforts that we have. Every October, we have a fire prevention week. The kids go to the firehouse and learn about stop, drop, and roll. They learn about how to crawl low underneath the smoke. Drowning in the United States kills more children than fire, lightning, tornadoes, and school shooters combined. And yet we put a great deal of effort and time into educating our young people about these dangers. It's time that we stepped up and started educating the people about the dangers of the Great Lakes.
I gather, for example, there are a couple of big issues that the Great Lakes deal with when it comes to safety. One is just the sheer amount of coastline here and the number of entry points. And the other is the issue with rip currents. Can you address both of those?
Of the five Great Lakes, Lake Michigan is the most dangerous. It has about half of the number of drownings that all five combined have. And of those, about half of those happen at the south end of Lake Michigan. So Lake Michigan is the most dangerous lake, and the south half of Lake Michigan is the most dangerous. And part of the reason is that the population density in the Chicago area. But part of it is also the rip currents that we have and the dangerous currents that we have. Unlike the waves that happen in Hawaii that may be generated from thousands of miles away, our waves are all wind generated. So they're all very short fetch, very steep waves, very close together. And they come up very quickly and they go down very quickly. And so they create a situation that makes our beaches particularly dangerous. And then add the fact that we don't have lifeguards on our beaches, on many of our beaches. And it just adds to the problem.
As I sit here, you're both wearing the Great Lakes Surf Rescue Project T-shirts, which have a surfboard on them. But this sounds like this is clearly about more than surfers we're talking about.
Right. When we first started this, we did start with a surfboard rescue techniques class to teach surfers how to use their surfboard as a rescue device. But at our first class, we had the general public and first responders, police officers, firefighters, water rescue team members, dive team members, even members of the U.S. Coast Guard coming out to see what we were teaching. So we immediately expanded the audience to a broader level. And when we look at the drownings on the Great Lakes, as Bob was saying, Lake Michigan is most dangerous. Since 2010, we've tracked 384 drownings on the Great Lakes. Typically, half of those are in Lake Michigan and half of those Lake Michigan are in the South End. And because we have a short swimming season of 3 to 4 months where there's going to be a high population density at the beaches. So because it's seasonal, we don't have year-round season lifeguards. And lifeguards are typically 17 to 22-year-olds who are high school or college students, and they move on. It's not like it's a lifelong career. So how do we retain them, train them, is what we're looking at. And just one of the things that I've seen in the 4 years that I've been working on this is that looking at the big picture drowning, I call it the vicious cycle of the drowning epidemic. And the summary version is each year millions of dollars are spent to bring more people to water. People who don't know how big the drowning epidemic is, people who don't have the basic swimming ability to save their own lives, people who don't believe that drowning can happen to them. And then when a drowning happens, there's a stigma of drowning where we blame the victim, blame the parents or caregivers, or blame it on Darwinism. And then there's a small call for lifeguards or water safety education. Nothing happens. And then we spend millions of dollars to bring more people to water, and it just cycles around. Yeah. And for each bullet point, we can look at millions of dollars are spent. I've been tracking how much money has been spent in the Great Lakes region since 2009, almost $1 billion of beach restoration projects for parking lots, bathrooms, amenities at the beach.
So the idea here is that we're spending all this money getting right. people to the beach, and then we're not protecting them once they get there.
Right. And how do we do that? You know, do we have earmarked a percentage of money spent on a beach? If a beach is getting $42 million for a restoration project and they're putting in a new pier and, you know, what's the balance of rescue equipment? A throw ring is $50. You know, a new parking lot and facilities to bring more people to water, $42 million at one beach in Whiting, Indiana, Gary, Indiana got $28 million. Portage is about $16 million. And these are ongoing. And if we have a disconnect between how much we spend to bring people to water with how much we're going to spend to educate people, and with what I've been looking at is what's the fastest way, the blanket statement that we could really educate the public is a water safety school curriculum. As Bob was saying earlier, in schools today we have fire drills, tornado drills, school shooter drills, and even earthquake drills, but very little water safety education. So if we had a water safety school curriculum, you know, we're transforming from knowing how to swim to knowing how to survive in the water, because really it's knowing how to survive is what's going to count. A lot of people who know how to swim drown every year. It's knowing how to survive the dangerous currents that can happen, as well as other hazards at the beach.
There are really three areas that we need to focus on. One is the swimming lessons, getting safer swimmers. Another is safer water, making sure that the water's as safe as can be. The ideal situation is professional lifeguards. That's not practical at a lot of beaches on the Great Lakes, but we can have rescue equipment. We can have call boxes. We can have that kind of thing. And then the other thing is a safer response so that we have our professional rescuers are trained to deal with the water. We train the lay public in doing CPR so that if there is an event that they're able to start CPR immediately, because if we have to wait for the professional rescuers to get there. So the Safer 3 is a national program. It's something that we believe in strongly. Teach your kids how to swim, take them to lifeguarded beaches, know how to do CPR, know how to make basic rescues and do it in a safe manner. Most of the time when we're at the beach and we do classes, there's something at the beach that floats that you could take to that victim. So many times we hear stories of would-be rescuers who drown trying to save someone else, yeah, when if they would just grab the boogie board or a plastic cooler or, you know, anything, they would have been able to keep everybody afloat, because that's really the key in water safety is just keeping people afloat.
RJ Kalepa, is Hawaii already at this point? Do kids there grow up knowing this stuff?
Well, we have a junior lifeguard program, which has, in the last 10 years, has been extremely successful to a point where there's probably about well over 1,500 kids that actually go through the program every summer. And the added side to that is they've been educated. So 10 years down the road, these people become viable people in the community. I think it's really staggering is when I look at the number, 4 months out of the year, people are going to our beaches. And when you have 328 drownings 4 months out of the year, that is like, come on, guys, open your ears. What is the cost for a person's life? How do you put a monetary figure on that? You can't. And the only way for you to understand that is if that happens to you or if you're on the other end of it. If you're the person giving that child CPR, what you're doing is you're impacting a whole family. There's a lot of repercussions that comes with that. And I don't know what the law system is, but, you know, the thing is, there's some kind of liability that needs to be addressed or taken care of, or how do we look towards, and I hope and I pray that some politician is listening to this conversation right now. I hope it opens their ears and they take a drive down to their neighborhood and look at the parks fronting their beaches and say, hey, what can we change here? What can we do to make this beach a safer place?
Bob and I have been doing this for over 4 years. We are a nonprofit 501c3. We've been doing it without a salary, without a paycheck. We're still a grassroots campaign. And we're shifting our gears now towards school presentations. And it's unfortunate that what really gets us into a school is, unfortunately, when they've lost somebody. Port Washington, Wisconsin lost Tyler Buschek, and they've had us there 3 years in a row, 4 times for school presentations and public presentations. Also been up to Sheboygan. John and Kathy Coker lost their 15-year-old son at Tinley Park, Illinois, in a Lake Michigan rip current, and they've joined us for presenting, you know, presentations.
Andy Fox, Jermaine Zirkle. I mean, we could go on and on and on. It's just and again, Archie's just spot on. It's not only the individual that's affected by this drowning, it's the family members, it's the people that were there, it's the people that go to church with these people, the people that go to school with these people, the rescuers that are there. It's just it's amazing the ripple effect. And, you know, if people believe that only stupid people drown and they believe that when it's children that the parents are somehow negligent. But the real fact of the matter is that they simply don't know. And we do stop, drop, and roll at schools. We do fire drills in schools so that we teach these kids from the time that they're 4 years old. They can tell you what number to call if they have an emergency. We need to instill the same kind of knowledge because these are smart kids. Matt Coker was an all-A student. Tyler Busick was a quarterback on the freshman football team. And these are not people that deserve to drown. These are people who simply had no idea what the lakes are capable of. And, you know, if we can get that information out, it's a huge benefit.
What an important message it is. And unfortunately, our time is short. But thanks to all three of you. And really, best of luck in your work.
Thanks very much.
Thank you.
Awesome. Thank you. Aloha.
Archie Kalapa is a former big wave surfer and retired ocean safety operations chief for Maui County. He now works as a konehiki, a brand caretaker for Olukai, a footwear company that outfits beach lifeguards in Hawaii. Dave Benjamin is executive director and Bob Pratt, the education director for the Great Lakes Surf Rescue Project. You'll find links to more about the organization from WUWM.com.